Psalms 11 says there in Psalms 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they might privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in thy holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. The eyes behold, his eyes beholding, behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright." They say the context of this Psalms is after David had the javelins thrown at him by King Saul there. And it was Saul, right? All right. And so he had the javelins thrown at him, and there were those that were around him that was telling him to leave, and his enemy was going to shoot at him, and the nation was going downhill, the foundations were being destroyed. And so that's what they say the context of this psalm is. Now, as I was reading this, several things spoke to me, and I hope they're an encouragement to you this morning, but I know they're encouragement to me. It starts off here and it says, "In the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust." Now, we have to determine to have our trust in the Lord. Satan wants to take it from us. The world wants to take it from us. It wants us to trust in everything else but God. But we have to determine inside of ourselves that we are going to trust in God, that we are going to trust in his word. The Bible says, "The Lord hath given me counsel." You know what? When we get advice, when we talk to pastors, when they say, "Well, this is from God's word," well, then we have to say, "The Lord hath given me counsel. I am going to trust in the Lord." The Bible says in Psalms 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, and the troubled and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. It says Selah there. And then in verse 7 it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Verse 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. God is our strong tower. God is our hiding place. God is our shield and our buckler. We can run into God and hide. It doesn't matter if the whole world is pressing in against us. It doesn't matter if it seems like it's the darkest night. And Isaiah says, "Who among you walks in darkness and sees no light? Let him stay upon Jehovah, and let him stay upon the name of the Lord his God." We stand upon our God. It must be a determination that we trust in our Lord. And then he asked a second question there in Psalms 11. "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" You know what? Lots of times God is our trust, and we know God is our trust, and we know God is our God, and God is our refuge. But when we are going through things in life, inside of us and others as well, but inside of us, we'll say, "Flee as a bird to your mountain." Right. It won't say flee to God. Right. It'll say flee as a bird to your mountain. And the Bible says everybody has a lust inside of themselves that draws them away. And when it is finished, it bringeth forth death there in James chapter 1. We have something inside of us that our body wants to run to, that our body wants to go to, that our body wants to get away from, because it doesn't want to make God its trust.
Right.
Don't run to your mountain.
Yeah.
Don't run to video games. Don't run to TV. Don't run to TikTok. Don't run to the internet. Don't run to chat rooms. Don't run to your friends. Don't run to hunting. Don't run. Now, those things aren't necessarily bad, certain ones of them, but they shouldn't be our hiding place. Amen. They shouldn't be our trust. Amen. They shouldn't be what we have to go to when things are down in life, when we want to get away, when we want to escape, when we need something to deliver us. And God, trust. I'm not going to let my body say, flee ye to your mountain.
Yeah, good.
Don't let it happen. Verse 2, it says, therefore, lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Psalms chapter 64, verses 3 and 4. Psalms chapter 64, verses 3 and 4, it says there, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. You know what? There's those that shoot arrows. The Bible talks to us about the fiery darts of Satan. And by the way, you will shoot arrows at yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You will lie to yourself. You will shoot arrows at yourself. You will shoot arrows of doubt, and you will shoot arrows of fear, and you will shoot arrows of worry. There's those that want to shoot arrows at us. The Bible tells us to be careful, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, there's those that want to destroy us. And I was thinking earlier, you know what? The gentleman asked, what helps me during the quitting times? You know what? It's thinking about my family. I know the end of quitting. I know the death in the gutter. I know the kids dead and in hell because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior because of Daddy. I know the family is destroyed.
Right.
All I have to do is think about the outcome, and that tells me it doesn't matter the pain, it doesn't matter the trial, it doesn't matter what I'm facing. I need to trust in the Lord my God and not flee into my mountain and not worry about the arrows that are bent towards me.
Amen. Right. Amen.
If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Of course, we know all around us foundations are being destroyed, but they're not being destroyed in this church. We can go on and on and on about the foundations being destroyed, but we need to make the sacrifice to build the foundation up. We need to make the sacrifice to stay holy. We need to make the sacrifice to have the dress standards that you guys have, and the music standards that you guys have, and the holiness standards at home, and the locks on the internet, and the locks on the TV, and the locks on the video games that chase after violence and gore, and you name it. And whatever it may be, the Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. You know what? Keep our families undefiled. Keep the church undefiled. Keep yourself undefiled. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The world needs somebody who's willing to be righteous. The world needs somebody who's willing to stand in the hedge. The world needs somebody who's willing to make the sacrifice and face the devil and say, God, in thee I will put my trust. It doesn't matter what tells me to flee to my mountain. God, I'm going to follow after you.
Amen.
I'm not going to let the foundations be destroyed. Verse 4, it says there, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men.
Good.
And by the way, we need to keep our right perspective of God. We need to keep our right perspective of God.
Right.
God is holy. God is in heaven. And when we understand the character of God, whether we understand the scriptures or not, whether the body casts doubts or fear, whether we're buffeted on every side, we can say, because of the Lord do I put my trust, and I understand the character of God, and I understand who God is, that I will find a verse and I will find a prayer. promise, and I will press on for one more day by the grace of God, like we heard in the song. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is perfect. All His ways are judgment. He thought about it. He had discernment. He got together with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in infinite wisdom, and they laid the foundation of the world, and they laid mankind, and they laid the cross. And we can't understand it, but He's a God of judgment, and all His ways are right. Just and right is He. God is always right. And sometimes we might need to stand up and scream it to ourselves. Maybe as you're on the lawnmower, you need to scream it to yourself. The Lord is right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what? I will trust in my Lord. I will not say flee as a bird to your mount.
Amen. Good.
We also need to understand that whatever we're going through might be a test. His eyelids try. By the way, no matter how what we're facing, we're just up against the eyelids of God.
Right.
You think you guys can beat somebody else who's trying to fight you with their eyelids? Some of you girls might not be able to beat some people that are fighting you with their eyelids. God's eyelids try us. He wants to see if we'll pass the test. And by the way, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, through all patience comes all strength.
Yeah.
We don't like that. We want power. We want strength. We want influence. We don't want patience. We don't want the problem. We don't want the trial. We don't like the darkness on every side. We don't like deep calling unto deep. But that's how God gives us power to work for Him. As we're on the reservation, a time has come in my memory and in my mind. The Bible says, except the strong man be bound, how can his goods be spoiled? And unless somebody's willing to stand up and build the foundations, unless somebody's willing to stand up and not flee to their mountain, and they're willing to trust in the name of the Lord their God, unless somebody's willing to stand up and face the darts that are facing against them, well then how can we spoil the strong man?
Yeah, that's right.
Because only we are the vessels of God, which we don't understand. Let us by faith see God on His throne of glory, infinitely transcending the splendor and majesty of earthly princes, on His throne of government, giving law, giving motion, and giving aim to all the creatures, on His throne of judgment, rendering to every man according to his works, and on His throne of grace, to which His people may come boldly for mercy and grace. We shall then see no reason to be discouraged by the pride and power of oppressors, or any of the afflictions that attend the righteous. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Something else we don't understand. God judges the wicked.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's why they need a daysman. That's why they need an intercessor. That's why they need a mediator. That's why they need somebody who won't run to all the things that they run to, but will run to something else.
Yeah.
Because God is gracious.
Yes, sir.
And God is loving.
Yes.
And God wants to spare them. We don't understand it, but God has written the world, and we live in God's world, and we'd better just trust God.
Amen.
Amen.
But God will judge the wicked.
That's
And so that's why you guys witness, and that's why you guys have the bus route, and that's why you guys stand up for Christ in the workplace, and that's why every day we beg the Holy Spirit to give us the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and gentleness and faith and long-suffering and temperance and meekness, so that we can show the world what it is to live apart from ourselves. Christianity is accepting Christ apart from ourselves for salvation. But once we do that, it's living apart from ourselves.
Good. Right.
For the benefit of others. The Bible says a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if I get satisfied apart from myself for others. But that's what a good man is. The Lord will try. And lastly, verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Psalms chapter 103 and verse sections through Psalms 34 and verse 15. We'll pass that first. Psalms 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Do we need God to answer our prayers? Do we need God to hear us? Well, of course, we be his child, and then we do what is right. Psalms 103 and verse 6. Psalms 103 and verse 6, it says there, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know what? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The Lord loveth the righteous. If you're following after God and righteousness with Christ in your heart, the Bible says that God will be there for you if you're oppressed. God will take care of you. By the way, God loves righteousness. The Bible says the sacrifice of righteousness. You know what? God's yoke is easy and his burden is light, because at the end, it's better to look back and say, I endured the hard times. I did right. I didn't let the foundations be destroyed. I trusted in the Lord my God. I did not run to my mountain, even though everything inside of me told me and bid me go. I stayed and I faced it by the grace of God. And you know what? It's a lot easier than carrying the sorrow and the sin and the shame and the heartache of sin and bad decisions and the choices that it leads those that come behind us. God loveth the righteous. By the way, God's eyes are upon the righteous. I don't know about you, but I need some more grace from God. I need some more mercy from God. I need some more strength from God. I need his eyes to be upon me. Because I can't even stand without him. Title of the message is, How Say Ye? How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. For I trust in the Lord. For I will trust in him.